as the deer panted for the water. Amen. What a good message this morning. Right attitude in expectation. Amen. Greatest battle to overcome ourselves. Amen. Amen. Key D. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you. You alone are my heart's desire. Submit my heart, my spirit, my all in all, O Lord, that you can have preeminence, O Lord, that the victory, what is in your mind, will be in my life, in our lives, O Lord, that we can wait upon you, O Lord. You will renew our strength. You will fulfill our prayers. You will be with us, O Lord, you always with us, O Lord. O Lord, we just commit our ways into your hands. Even this afternoon service, O Lord, thinking about Brother Eli, just setting himself aside, O Lord. You inspire him, O Lord. May this service will be blessing. May we say, Lord, you've been so real to us, even afternoon, O Lord. We are so thankful for message morning time, O Lord. You spoke to us, O Lord. We want to be in quietness, waiting upon you, O Lord. We just commit everything what will be said and done in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Maybe we can sing a small chorus. Brother George wants to sing with some saints. Amen. Maybe we can sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Opened," key D or E, maybe E. The windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling in our mind. There is joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my hope, the garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I am feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. There is joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old dirty garment, he gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Amen. You may be seated.
Message the pastor preached this morning. We want to sing a song. To me, it's a blessing to me. But sometimes the Lord puts you through things and you don't understand. Normally, if you ask, you just get it straight away. But sometimes it takes long to come. But the good thing when it takes long to come, in the AMs when everyone's asleep, you'll be fellowshipping with the Lord. And sometimes the Lord, he wants you to fellowship more with him. So he can put you on your ash heap or your sickness place, and there you'll be really talking to the Lord a lot. It's been the best time, good time in my life, but it's not easy. So it's "Be Not Afraid." It's a very nice song.
You shall cross the barren desert, and you shall not die of shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall and mold, for one day you shall laugh. And if wicked men insult and hate you, oh, because of me, blessed, blessed.
This world, like eyes of this world, rest, it looks foolish, but our rest is our strength, actually. Amen. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I had a song on my mind. Maybe we can sing. I forgot now. Sometimes it's difficult when I have to change from song to song. I just lose my voice or something, you know. But until you hear, you don't understand maybe. But anyhow, may God be to glory. Amen. Maybe we can sing Higher Ground. Amen. Because we are pressing by the grace of God to higher and higher ground. KG. I am pressing on upward way. New heights I am gaining every day, still praying as I am on the path. Lord, plant my feet to higher ground. Lord, lift me up, stand by faith on high. When stable and a higher place that I have found, Lord, plant my feet to higher ground. My heart says no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Thou some may dwell where is abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven stable and a higher that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'll find. Lord, to higher ground.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Heaven, save a land, a higher plan that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plan that I have found. Lord, lift me on higher ground. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, on the everlasting God. What a blessedness, what a peace is my leaning on the everlasting God. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning holy. Thank you, Lord. Leaning on the everlasting God. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting up. Right the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting up. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. From all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm.
Can you give that one again as the dear, the one you sang first? Let's sing that song in meditation.
As the deer panted for the water for my soul, after you, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Silver, because he is the only one that deserves our worship. Sometimes we just sing these words without really thinking it. But when we sing it, let's meditate upon it and let it be the expression of the deepness of our hearts. We have to love him. Amen. Because when you just consider what he has done for you, we can just sing for him. Let's just open our Bibles. Matthew 22, 35-38. We have three readings. First, Matthew 22:35-38. Thank you, musicians. Second, Matthew 6:24, and then Romans 1 from 21-24. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this afternoon, O Lord, after granting us a blessed service this morning. We commit now ourselves into your hand. Lead us and speak to us now as we start this second service. You know what's in your people's hearts, O Lord. Speak it through us, O Lord, and answer many questions they may have. And let us go out of here rejoicing for having been in your presence. Bless those who are live streaming, O Lord. Wherever they are, O Lord, grant them their portion. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The last one, Romans 1:21-24. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for coming back for the afternoon service. I can still see the room full. You know, just means that the love of God is in the heart. And thank you for the Brother Mike and the saints there for the cafe. We praise the Lord for that. It was such a blessing this morning, God answering your prayer. You know, for myself, it was really a word of consolation. Because you know those times when the devil comes and started preaching you, and he's a very good preacher. And 99% of the time, what he tells you is true. Amen? What he tells you 99% of time is true, but just misplaced. And if you give in to that, he will preach you, and then it's just like that frog into that warm water, you know. You start getting used to his preaching, and then you go astray. So God's answer sometimes is just laying down there in a form, in a shape that you don't understand it yet. Amen. When they were crying out of, to get out of bondage, God's answer was sitting there in the Nile, like a baby in a basket. Amen. Someone could have passed there. He has been praying in the morning, God, deliver us from the bondage. He could pass and see that baby lying there in the Nile, not understanding that this is God's answer. Amen. Amen. They were there working in the mud, and Moses came to help them. They were praying, God, send us a liberator. The liberator came and told him, why are you fighting each other? He said, who are you to judge us? They despised God's answer. Yeah. Amen. Maybe that husband you are looking for, he has come already. Amen. But he doesn't have blue eyes as you expect. Amen. He doesn't have those blue eyes. So it's not the time for you yet. But just wait for, the cup to be full. Yeah. Amen. Those blue eyes, you start seeing them blue now. Amen. The answer is there. Just be patient. You know one thing, sometimes God's answer can lead you into more trouble. Yes. Amen. God has answered your prayer. The answer is there, but it takes you in more trouble. They prayed for a liberator. A liberator came. He took them out of bondage, but they found themselves in a more complicated situation. The Red Sea there, wall here, wall there, and Pharaoh behind. They said it would be better for us to die in Egypt. God's answer brings you sometimes in a situation you can't understand. But God will always make a way. Amen. That was a real blessing. So we are going, this was my Sunday school lesson this morning. Amen. So I'm just going to transform it into a sermon. And we praise God because all things work together for good to those that love God. Amen. We may think it as something or whatever, but God wanted it to be like this. Maybe you want to say something to someone and you wanted it done this way. So we praise the Lord. In our Sunday school, for those who don't come to adult Sunday school, we were talking about worship for a few weeks now. Offerings and sacrifices, and we were focusing exactly on worshiping God. And we saw that God's worship must come first. We worship God because he is the most precious resource, the most precious thing you have in your life. And out of that realization, then you start worshiping God. If you don't realize that God is the most important thing in your life, then your worship will just be words of for external consumption. But inward, worship must start inside and just come outside. Amen. And for the last few weeks, we were talking about money, the power of money. Because sometimes we were saying that we will know that God is in the first position in your heart when we analyze, when we realize your relationship to money. Because sometimes, if God is first in your heart, your relationship, the way you handle money will be different. Whether in the way you spend it or in the way you try to acquire it. If God comes first, money can never overtake your all the resources of your life. Whether you have it or you don't have it. Last week we were talking about having money, not having money. Because people, many times we think that you can worship money only when you have it. But most of the people that worship money are people that don't have money. Amen. People that don't have money, they worship money even more than those that have money. Why? Because all your mind will be now conditioned by for you to look for money. Any means are possible. Even if you have to, you know, deliberately misservice a church, you will do it for you to get money. You will become jealous. Because God has blessed your brother, you see it as if it was an insult to you. Lack of money, it makes you to become jealous. My brother has got a good job. Why? He's not even more clever than me. Amen. I was talking the other day. Your brother gets a new car, you say, oh, it's a Chinese car. Even if it's a Chinese phone, it's a phone. Praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. Oh, brother, you got this phone. I'm made in China. Oh, God bless you, brother. Even if it's made in China, it's better than me, my phone. Amen. Because if it wasn't better than my phone, I wouldn't get jealous. Amen. If that thing that God granted to your brother, my brother, worship of money involves a lot of things in it. So you have to be very careful in what you do. Not having money can make you worship money. That's why Jesus said, as we read in Matthew 6, no man can serve two masters. He's comparing God and mammon. And we said mammon, most of the time we just say it's money. But mammon involves more than money. Mammon involves money and all the pleasure that money can get you. Mammon involves the glory of this world. Mammon involves technology. All the things that money, the power money gives you, that's mammon. And he says, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Get it careful here. He doesn't say he will love less the one and love more the other. He will hate. It's like day and night. God and money is like day and night. Whether you love God or you love money, when you love God, when you love money, you will hate God. Amen. When you love money, you will hate God. And he said, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Keep that word. Despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The devil knew that if he offers to Jesus the power of mammon, it will push Jesus to hate God. That's why he offered him to give him all the glory of the world. Because he knew if Jesus just accepts to take all the glory of the world, he will hate God. That's why your relationship to money must be a very well looked after relationship. If you are not careful, you may fall into money worship without knowing it. Amen. It's very important for us to realize it. Today we are going to see other day to sow for those who don't have money. Today we are going to see, because I know many of us here will be blessed. Amen. You heard a good testimony this morning. Dion has been blessed. But this is for you. Money is coming. What your relationship towards money must be. How you can master money. Amen. Otherwise, because any man, any woman, any nation that didn't get a close relationship with God, when money comes, it will, you know, the love of God in that person, in that nation, will decline. Amen. If you didn't get your relationship with God very well, when money comes, your relationship, your love for God will decline. These countries we are living in, all these cathedrals we see empty today, they were full at one stage. Amen. We see them empty today. Why? Because people got blessed. But when people didn't have money, the churches were full. They couldn't build such big buildings if they didn't. They were not sure that people will fill this building. Brother Wilmo is here. He knows when they plan a building, they know how many people are going to fill that, to fit that in that building. And they do projections for a growth. It means when they were building these cathedrals, they knew that people, church attendance was in a rise. Why? Because people needed God. And most of the time, when people don't have money, the love of God is there. Why? Because they don't have food. Amen? When you don't have food, where do you go? It's human nature. It's human nature. When you don't have an answer physically, naturally to your problem, they tend to look to the supernatural. Yes. Amen. Amen. Even those who say out there that God doesn't exist, put them on a plane and put a time bomb there. Amen. Every one of them will say, Jesus. Amen. Amen. They don't, because there is no natural solution. The human nature makes them to look to the supernatural. Amen. When there was not food in this island, people turned their look towards God. Please, God, help us. The need of God was there. But when they started getting food, why do you need God for again? Because the fridge is full. The time you start being blessed financially, if you don't pay close attention, the love of God will diminish. The love of God will start going down, 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 until it will vanish completely. That's why you can't love God and mammon. Be very careful on that. When you don't have money, you know, people in poor areas, in poor countries, Why do people believe in witchcraft? Amen. Why do people believe in witchcraft? Because most of, I don't say witchcraft doesn't exist. You know, I know the devil exists, witchcraft exists. But in many poor countries, it's just because they don't have money to bring someone to the hospital. And for a good doctor to diagnose the disease of the person, they'll say, oh, he has been bewitched. That person has been bewitched. You know, we have many witches and, you know, magicians in the family. That's why this child is. In this Europe, in the Middle Age, all the things we see in the third world countries, it was here in Europe. They believed in witchcraft. They were blaming witches for epidemies. They were blaming witches for poverty and everything. Why? Because they didn't have money. But when they started getting prosperous, and science began to prosper, and they started to find scientific solutions to their problem, the need of God was not there anymore. Because they were believing God to protect them from witches. Amen? But now science can prove to them that it was not witches. It was a disease called polio. Amen? It was a disease called, I don't know, cholera or whatever. And they can prove it scientifically, and they give you a tablet, and you are healed. So where's the need of God again? When they have the medical insurance with terms and conditions, if you get a leg broken, they'll give you 17 million euro. Where's the need of God? When people start getting blessed, you know, financially, but they start getting prosperous, most of the time the need of God vanishes. That's why Jesus was very careful when he said, you can't serve God and mammon. When mammon comes, the love of God goes. That's why you need to be very careful. You go today in where I come from, people are so much, you know, anchored in believing in witchcraft. They killed my, they ate that person. They ate him how? He's in the tomb there. Amen. I believe those things exist. But most of the time it's not. It's just because people don't have money. They are not financially prosperous. And they try to find a refuge in God. But if that relationship, when you don't have money, is not well firmly established, the time money comes, and you don't see the need of God anymore. You don't see the need of God because school is free. You send your children free to school. Healthcare is free. The police station is there. The ambulance is there. Fire, I don't know, whatever. Any of your needs, the community look after it. The states look after it. So where is the need of God? And what happens? People start now trying to find excuses to reject God. Yeah. Amen. You start now to find ways to reject God. Excuses. You know, the Catholic Church, they did so many bad things in this country. That was the Catholic Church. That was not God. Yeah. Amen. Just excuses. When God blesses someone and you start getting money, the prophet says, I can't remember the sermon. The prophet says, the first thing you will notice that man will change his area he was living. Yeah, yeah. Amen. He moved from Balbriga and he goes to Sligo. Amen. No, he goes to Dunleary because that's where his social rank, you know. Why? And when he moves, he changes area, he changes his friends as well. You know, he was visiting Brother Wilmore, Brother Jesse, but now he gets big money. There's no time to visit Brother Wilmore anymore. He's dealing now with big people now. He needs to learn now how to play golf. Hey, man. Now he starts playing golf. He goes to the best gym in the city. You know, good appointments and things that. Why? And that, without knowing it, you are getting the bad influence. It's not. There's no wrong. It's not wrong to get new friends from the high class society. But I'm just emphasizing on the fact that if your relationship with God was not well established, those new relationships, those new friends will get you away from God. And mammon will take over. And you won't lack excuses to justify yourself. Amen. Amen. You won't lack excuses. So the moment you get into that area, you get into that new circle, there's so many bad things going on there. I've been in places, you know, especially when you get into that high circle. There's things that sometimes you can't break protocol. I was in a meeting one day. There was, I think, the minister for foreign affairs of this country and the other people. At the table, they brought wine, you know, red wine. And you were sitting all there. They put glasses, you know. And if you are not careful, you can't break protocol. Amen. There are protocols there. And you have to follow protocols. They put a glass there, glass there, glass there. And the most important person in the They give him the first glass to test. They put just a little there. Yes, you can serve. You know, they start putting. And you need to be very well established to say no. Amen. That's why you have to choose between mammon and God. Material blessings are good. But if your relationship with God is not well established, it's not time yet. That's why when the pastor was preaching this morning, sometimes God can say, God didn't say no, but God is saying it's not the time yet for you to get it. Because he sees that you have not overcome that door yet. That gate is still under the hands of the enemy. And you still have to overcome it. I saw the prophet being given a check of $1,500,000. It's not in today's money. It's in those days' money. It's maybe, I don't know, 50 million today. And the prophet saying no. You know why the prophet said no? You think there was no need for money? He could send it to missionary camps and whatever. But in God's wisdom, the prophet knew that if I take this money, I've not possessed that gate yet. It will be hard for me to handle it. Amen. The prophet says, whatever I get, every money I get, when I look after my needs, food and this, paying for the camp, all that remains, I send it to missions. You see, a man who had mastered money. Because if God blesses you with a lot of money, you pay for your rent, you pay for your car, you are left with 10 million euros there. Will you master it? Amen? Will you be able to master it? Remember, we are talking about love of God being the first thing in your life. And that will be checked against your relationship with money. Will money push you to satisfy your fleshly needs? Will money push you to abandon God? It's very important. Amen. So when someone just, that need for God is not there in their life anymore. They just realize, okay, I can do, if I want to go, I don't know, to Saint-Tropez, as the pastor was saying this morning, to the Canary Island. Now. I can go. If I want to go anywhere, I can go. So the need of God is not there in their life anymore. And slowly, little, you start feeling like you don't want God to get involved in your business anymore. Without realizing it, you just start to find, oh, no. God is just too much. They tell you, brother, let's go to church. Oh, yeah. No. You know, I have a meeting. Brother, let's go to church. No. I have a golf match tonight. Or I have to go and play. I don't know. Start just slowly, little. You don't, that reliance on God is not in you anymore. And then, the way we are made, you can't be neutral. Amen? You can't be neutral. Whether you love God, if you put God away, someone else will come. He will take over. And when that someone comes, he will start now making you do things that you didn't intend. Sin will lead you further than you expected. Amen. Amen? Sin will lead you further than you expected. Let me find something. I was reading an article. There was a research that was done by an American. He studied the decline of religion in the U.S. It was a very, very instructive research, and he published it. He's showing how the how religion got slowly to its decline to the way we are today in the U.S. And when he traces back, he puts it around the years 35, 40s. It's around those years that America started rejecting God slowly. And that researcher says, the only thing that was keeping the American, the appearance of godliness in America, he said there was three things. It was the Cold War. He said it was, for the last, from those years, after the Second World War, the Cold War was the main thing that was keeping people to pretend, to do that, to give that impression of they still love God. Why? Because in America of those days, the enemy was Russia. The enemy was communism. And communism was the enemy of God. Amen? So if you came up and said, I don't trust in God, they'll label you communist. And they'll put you on, you know, on the group of the enemies of the U.S. That's why everyone, though they started rejecting God already, but they had to keep that appearance of loving God. Otherwise, they'll be labeled as communist. But with the fall of communism, there was no that scarecrow. That fear of being labeled of communist was not there anymore. That's why in the 1990s, the decline in people becoming atheist in America raised like a, you know, very, very steeply. Why? Because that fear was not there anymore. But the love of God started declining in the 1930s when they started becoming blessed financially. When the prosperity of the U.S. started, people didn't feel the need of God anymore. And the seed, all those years, the seed was being sown for the rejection of God. Remember, we spoke here about the sexual revolution in the U.S. It started in the years 1920, 1930, and that move came with the abortion move, with all those things. People, they didn't really, the seed was being sown, but people, there were still many things that were keeping them from rejecting God completely. But everything was there. All the ingredients were there to make them to reject God. They had money, they could go wherever they want. America had become the most powerful power in the world, but there were just things that were keeping them from doing what they did. Listen, this man says, I'm going to read from his report. In the late 19th century, an array of celebrity philosophers, the likes of Friedrich Nietzsche, Karl Marx, and Sigmund Freud, proclaimed the death of God and predicted that atheism would follow scientific discovery and modernity in the West. Amen. These men were philosophers. But they were just confirming what Jesus said. But when Mammon comes, the love of God will die. Amen. And Mammon is just not money. Mammon is all that goes with money. Scientific evolution, glory, power of the world, all those things. In the late 19th century, when these people, Karl Marx and all those, when they saw that science is going in from discovery to discovery, they predicted that God will die. The love of God will finish in people. Atheism will follow scientific discovery and modernity in the West. Sure as smoke follow fire. Now this man says, deep into the 20th century, more than 9 in 10 Americans say they believe in God. That was in the early 20th century. America was that nation that committed themselves to God, they love God, they proclaim in God we trust and all that we know. 9 of 10 say they believe in God, with the great majority of them calling themselves Christians. That number held steadily. This is where this man got it wrong. He said, that number held steady through the sexual revolution in the 1960s, through the ruthless and anxious 70s, and through the greed good of the 80s. So to this man, he believes that in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, the American people were still Christians. But he didn't know that the decline had started already. Brother Branham preached the invasion of the United States in 1954. The decline had started in the 30s with the civil rights movement, with the sexual revolution. People started rejecting God little, but communism was the scarecrow that wouldn't let them proclaim it openly that they reject God, because there was still that thing that the America wants you to be whether you believe God, you are American, you don't believe God, you are communist, you are enemy of the country. And that appearance stayed like that 60s, 70s, 80s, until the fall of the communism. When communism collapsed, the ground was open now. And he said, but in the early 90s, the historical tether between American identity and faith snapped. Religious non-affiliation in the U.S. started to rise, and rise and rise. By the early 2000s, the share of Americans who say they didn't associate with any established religion had doubled. By the 2010s, this grab bag of atheists, agnostics, and spiritual dabblers had tripled in size. You see what prosperity brought to America. The love of God. People started one after the other rejecting God. God doesn't exist. They don't. The atheists, the agnostics, the spiritual dabblers, all those, all those atheist movements. He says, history does not often give the satisfaction of a sudden and lasting turning point. History tends to unfold messy cycles, actions and reactions, revolutions and counter-revolutions, and even semi-permanent changes are subtle and glacial. But the rise of religious non-affiliation in America looks like one of those rare historical moments that is neither slow, not a subtle, no cycle, you might call it exceptional. So the rise of people saying they don't believe in God, it just went whoop. This man was trying to say, historically, many movements, they go like this, that, it goes slowly, sometimes look like it as if it's something or not. But the rise of ungodliness in America just went plummeted. Why? Because in the years they were supposed to build that relationship with God, they didn't build it. And when money came, it just revealed who you are. Amen. We are praying for God to bless us. Are we ready to receive those blessings? Will you still come to church when God bless you? Will you pray when God bless you? Will you consider ministers of the gospel as, worthy of respect when you get money? Because money can make you do things that you didn't expect. You start seeing everybody as small, ants there, like down there. Really? It's very important. And when you give in to the power of money will bleed you now to satisfy your fleshly needs. It will just, because when money started governing you, you will not be satisfied. That's why you ask all those dictators across the world. You see, when they are ousted, you find in their houses piles and piles of money. You wonder, what are they doing with all this money? You see notes and notes and notes and notes. I saw one image of one, I don't know, in Tunisia or in Egypt. You know, piles of gold, pure gold. And it was not five or six, it was piles. You know, beside of money, notes, you had euros, American dollars, pound, British pound, and the local currency. Say, all this for what? And when that greed is you know, settles in you, there's no satisfaction. You start by petty sins, you know. There are those petty sins like, just change those, put the 20 or instead of 100, okay? And then you go, there's a progress. You get to a stage where normal sins doesn't satisfy you anymore. Amen? When money starts leading you, normal sins, like going committing adultery, you do it. So you said, it's not enough anymore. Can I try with someone else's wife? Amen? That's why money leads you from sin to sin, from glory to glory. Amen? In the negative. Because you have money, you have got everything that everybody... Do you wonder why today they go to sleep with animals? Amen? Because we are okay. Do whatever you like. Go and make fornication or whatever. But why with an animal? Because there is no satisfaction when mammon starts governing you. You do this, you do that, you drink, you eat. You get to a stage where you say, okay, it's not enough anymore. All these girls, it's not enough. I need to start now getting married people's wives to feel satisfied. You get to that, you do it, they do that, it's not still okay. Now you need men to men, women to women. It's still not okay. We need to go now to pedophilia. That is exactly what the Bible said. Listen, the scripture we read. Paul said, since they didn't recognize the glory of God, God will unleash all these powers on you. Let's read it again. Romans 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Listen, these are the people, these people he's talking about here. They are not atheists, they are out there. They are people that knew God. It's like you and me. It's people that had a relationship with God. But that relationship was not a well-built, a well-established relationship. When you come to God, my brother, there's no testing and going back. Try to take, Brother Branham said, when he met Jesus, he tried as best as he could to resemble Jesus. There's no halfway Christians. Try to get to the full deepness of God and get that new birth established in you. If you don't, the day something will come, your condition will get worse than what you were before. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fool. When you become self-sufficient, you start to think that I'm wise. Because when you think you are wise, you don't need God anymore. These people, they thought they are wise. They don't need God anymore in their life. They don't give God the glory he deserves. They don't put God in the first position. As Jesus said, love God with all your mind, all your spirit, and all your soul. But they came to a point where God doesn't matter to them anymore as he should be. Now, they think they are wise at themselves, professing themselves to be wise, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed, and verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. You see what comes after. If you didn't establish correctly your relationship with God, the love of God is the first thing in your life. When mammon will come in your life, you know, it will start slowly, small, start little, little. But if you don't realize it, God also will give you up to your uncleanness through the lust of your own heart. Mm-hmm. Now the lust of your heart start making you do things that you didn't intend. If you read that chapter to the end, you'll see that's where homosexuality comes from. That's where all these, let's read it. Verse 26. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You know what the Bible is talking about here. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was met. Amen. So that's where money, if you didn't really establish your relationship properly with God, the love of the world, mammon will come, and whether you like it or not, you start doing things that will slowly, little, take you away from God. That's why we were saying your relationship with money, if God comes first in your life, anything, if God blesses you, the way you will use money, it will be for the glory of God. I was saying last Sunday, I didn't want to speak about the power of money. Because the power of money is a good thing. Of course, yeah, we need money. Money, the power of money works in both sides. Money can be something good that can push the gospel forward. It can sponsor a minister. It can send missionaries to preach the gospel. But I wanted to talk about the danger of money. That aspect of danger of money. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you are not sure that your connection with God is not good, my brother, ask God €100. That's enough to pay your bills, to go to work, to come back. Ask God for food. Ask God for all those basic needs. But the time you become to have a lot of money sitting in the bank, if you don't have that connection well established with God, mammon will take over. And when it takes over, the place it takes you is more than what you expected. We have seen people that has been sitting in pews like you are sitting there. But the time they get, his brother becomes a minister for so-and-so, and his brother appoints him as his advisor or whatever. The brother starts traveling left and right. I know a brother personally. He was a journalist back home. A very good job, very good brother. He was a journalist. By the time one of his relatives got appointed minister, or I don't know what area, he appoints him as his spokesperson. So that brother has now to be on planes every day. He goes to Jordania, he goes to Saudi Arabia, he goes there. And you start asking the brother, why don't you come to church anymore? Oh, you know, yesterday I was in Egypt, and after that we went to Argentina, and the love of God starts. Before you know it, you start seeing the brother with women. You see him going up and down, doing this and that, and the love of God vanishes completely. You can't love God and mammon. Make sure, my brother, that God, you have come to that realization who God is for you. You remember we sang this song here. I love you more than any other thing. I love you more than gold and silver. If you come to that point where you love God more than gold and silver, they can give you gold and silver there. You will put God on top of gold and silver. And you will put gold and silver to do the will of God. Yes. Amen. If you love God more than your Cadillac or your Rolls Royce, when God comes, he will take over the Rolls Royce. But if the Lamborghini is before God, you start driving with your arm there so that people can see your watch. Amen. We know this. Especially where the young girls are. No. These things are, it's kind of funny, but these things are true. Seek God, my brother. We want God to bless us. We are going to colleges. We are going to universities. We are applying for jobs. But sometimes ask yourself, why is God still holding on to that blessing? Maybe something is not right yet in your life. The answer is there. The answer is sitting somewhere, but God is just waiting for you to make sure of your calling and of your election. If that relationship, that connection become firm and stable, God will bless you. And you will see the hand of God upon you, and the blessings will fall on you. We wouldn't be even able to count it. We love God, and let's pray for that relationship between us and God to become the one that will remain forever. Whether it rains or it snows, whether they bless you or whether you lack everything, but you still love God. You won't curse God because you don't have money. You won't curse God because you have money. Just remain that Christian that lives in the most holy place, whether it rains or it snows. Amen. As we call the musicians, let God bless you.
After thy will.
trusted today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thy own way,
on things eternal. When Brother Eli was preaching there, especially at the end, God loves to bless his people, but he needs to prepare his people first. I was thinking of Joseph. When it says Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. Remember, we were speaking the other week that before Joseph could get to the stage that the Lord could put him in that position, in the days of his youth, Joseph, he needed first to get his roots down deep. Now, to strike that something in the days of his youth, the reality of God, and then he got the right foundation. Now you can take a man as high as you want. You can put him in the palace. You can give him unlimited authority. And Joseph, his foundation is in his God. His pleasure is in his God. His vision, his purpose is in his God. You know, so friends, it's lovely to see the character of people that God can bless. I'm sure Brother Lubanza could come and speak to us about all the things he once mentioned to me about that the Lord took him through, the trials and things. Before the Lord can really establish you and trust you with great things and riches, he's first going to make sure there's a character there. There's the right character that you're going to be able to stand fast, even when he takes you to the great heights. And may the Lord help us to be that, saints, because the Lord desires a testimony among the rich people as well as the poor. He wants a testimony in the business world of a businessman that will do it right. Look at Brother Jose. We pray the Lord will bless his business and make him great so that people might see a business run by kingdom principles, the principles of the kingdom, to be a light in the midst of all of the darkness. So friends, there's nothing wrong with those things. But get your roots deep in the days of your youth. Strike that something that's real that'll hold you in the days of your prosperity. And may the Lord help us. Let's sing that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Time is filled with swift transition. No. Hold to God's
changing
you. Don't forget every step that you take, the great eye is awake. But this one of riches, it's a very important topic, friends, because it was one of the temptations of Jesus. As Brother Eli was saying, when the Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them, and said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you these things. And it was a temptation. He was tempted to do it. He had to overcome that something, but he showed us how to do it. And how did he answer Satan? He says, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. So when he was offered all of the things of the world, but the wrong agenda, he said, nope, I know the right way that these things should be attained. And he said, thou shalt worship, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then God can add riches to you. Let's sing that song. We ask Brother Vlad, you close for us there, please, brother.
To the souls true about, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Every day, mind the steps with you. Watching you, it's watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. As you make life so bright, keep the pathway of right. There's an eye watching you. But we won't not to go in the path of the fall. There's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Every day, mind the course of pursuit.
on the way to the kingdom of day. There's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Every day mind the course you pursue. Watching you, watching you. There's an old seeing eye watching you. If you still cheat and lie and in churches divide, there's an eye watching you. God will not let you go in the way of the foe. There's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Watching you, watching you. There's an old seeing eye watching you.
Let's bow down, saints.
Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
We want to, at the end of day, just say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You came with very simple way, O Lord.
Amen.
Just showing us in between the lines your mind for us, O Lord. Like we sang this song, there's an eye watching you, O Lord. What a rest, because you keep your eye on us, O Lord. Wherever we go, even if we go astray, Lord, your eyes, they're watching us, O Lord. You always find a way how to bring us back, O Lord. We are so thankful, O Lord. We are so thankful for simplicity of your word, for simplicity of those testimonies, those stories in Bible, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that we can take lessons, that we can learn even today something for our lives, O Lord. Because in your great vision, O Lord, before you created everything, O Lord, you had these things in your mind. O Lord, we are so thankful that your word stays forever, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves, O Lord, that you can reveal us more, O Lord, yourself to us, O Lord. May Christ is really light in us that will shine all around. May many people, O Lord, who are lost, who are far from you, it may be your children, O Lord, may they find a way, O Lord, back to you, O Lord. We commit our ways into your hands, even when we leave this place, O Lord. Be with us on our way, on our journeys, wherever we go, O Lord, our works, O Lord. Help us. Like David says, you spoke once, Lord, but I heard twice, O Lord. May your word go with us wherever we go. You remind us about your wisdom, about your word. You transform us, O Lord. From glory unto glory, we commit everything into your hands, asking even our brother George, who is not well, O Lord, but everything is in your hands, O Lord, because you are our healer, you are our provider, O Lord, you undertake of our needs. O Lord, help us that we can serve you with full strength, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, we commit our ways into your hands. Amen.
God bless you, saints. What do you have, Brother Vlad, for us to dismiss?
Key A.
I'm sure you've got something. Gone,
gone. No, that's that one. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. Precious name, oh how sweet, home of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, home of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name with you as
as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, round you, name in prayer, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul joy.